What can prepare you for this, dating 30 people at the same time? I'm a teacher.
I'm constantly thinking about, like, my students.
This is a new feeling to me.
Overwhelmed in a very good way.
This is hard.
It felt so good.
Absolutely terrible.
Class is in session.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
You know,
hi, Taylor. How are you?
Hi, Adam. Happy. We never say each other's names. It's so weird.
I was going to say, why did you say it like that? But then I realized I kind of set you up to say it exactly like
that.
Well,
I mean, I had to say something. Had a great Thanksgiving. I made my perfect pie. If you didn't see the video.
It was a great pie.
Let me know. I'll send it to you. Some ASMR butter bubbles all around the edge.
You've gotten into some weird stuff, honey.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm hungry. And so.
You don't have to justify it. You know, you can't help what you're
into.
If you're into that, you're into that.
As a result, I've gotten into, the word is called mukbang.
I know what that is.
Oh.
I know that word.
Okay. Look at you being plugged in.
Listen, if there's any context, like, how would I not know that word? It's people eating a whole bunch of food on camera.
Right.
It's not to like.
But it's not, you know, you also do like to watch the competitive eating stuff. It's not competitive eating for me. It's the ASMR, the sound, the slurping of a noodle, the crunch of a taco.
You're going to make me throw up on our one microphone.
Well,
I like watching people eat. I don't like listening to people eat.
Right.
It's a different. I like also tasting me eating a lot.
I'm going to be honest with you. I like the sound.
I'm
going to
be honest with you. I hate that.
I don't know why I like the sound, but it's.
Yeah, you can't help it.
I don't know. So that's what's been going on with me.
It's so weird.
It's weird.
That, you know, they made the internet, and then anybody could create anything.
Anything.
And in a sense, there's this opportunity that everybody could go get access to any information at any time, ever, on any device.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And instead of that, instead of this educational revolution,
there are millions of people making mukbang videos.
We all
sit
around
mountains of noodles.
We all sit around and watch some tiny Japanese lady eat 19 pounds of noodles.
Yes, and it's not just that. It's that.
That's what we did with the internet,
right? And then I'm watching this video, and the first thing I think about is not necessarily like, man, I really want nachos tonight, which is obviously why we got nachos tonight, because I was watching those videos and I was like, I want something crunchy in my mouth. But the other thing is, what lipstick are they wearing? Because the lipstick never comes off. That's the conversation I want to have. I want them to drop the link at Sephora to say, I make millions of dollars. Maybe not millions. I make hundreds of thousands of dollars making mukbang videos of me eating Taco Bell, and my lipstick never comes off. Here's the link to the lipstick. I want to know that.
It's just amazing what took off on the internet.
It really is.
That, it's like watching other people play video games and watching stuff blow up in slow motion.
Yes.
And that's what took off.
Right.
Education? No.
Well, porn. But then that other stuff. All that other stuff, too.
Crazy.
Crazy. Fan fiction.
I'm sure there's crossovers of all this stuff,
well,
too.
Well, I can imagine what a mukbang and fan fiction crossover may be.
I don't want to anticipate the appetite for that.
I think it's
shocking.
It's probably a lot of like one woman who like makes a ton of cupcakes for this hot guy that does mukbang videos, and then they fall in love.
That sounds like a very romanticized version of fall in love, eh?
Yeah, they fall in love over food.
And here we are on The Bachelorette.
That's right.
And that's how we got to this season.
We're still in
Minneapolis.
Thank you.
you really are just committing major geographical sins.
I mean, I know a lot about Ohio because we learned a lot about Ohio growing up. And specifically, I mean, I know there's 88 counties in Ohio.
Wow, Illinois has 102.
Well, we're talking about
take that.
Well, we're talking about me right now. And I did a project on Point Pleasant, the birthplace of President Garfield.
Wow.
Yes. Also, basically fell in love with a baby and then married it.
Wow.
It's a weird story.
That is an underreported story.
It is. Basically, I don't know if it was like his cousin or his like grandniece or something like that. And he was like 27.
Sorry, it's a baby in his family?
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, at the time.
Honestly, is that better or worse than just seeing a random baby on the street and being like, hello?
Yeah, so he was, somebody had a baby in his family or like a close family friend. He was 27. He fell in love with the baby and then married the baby.
You know what? You should be able to help what you're into.
You know, I mean,
I feel like I haven't discussed that enough on this show.
You haven't. You've done very much of the opposite.
You should be able to just you've help with your
very record. Much done
at,
the opposite.
At a certain point, there should be a manual override that kicks in where you go, no.
And he became president.
It's crazy.
He became president. Went to Miami University as well, I believe.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What?
Okay.
You know what? I rescind that congratulations, and I'm going to replace it with a, that is something.
Something. That is a piece of information.
That is not
you
not
know what?
Trivia.
You know what? That's not true. I don't think he went to Miami, because if he did, we would have a building named Garfield, and we don't.
Okay.
So, there we are.
Great.
So, we are in
Minneapolis. We're in Michelle's hometown.
That's better. I'll start saying that.
Okay. So, stage set. Boom. Four guys left.
Yes.
We are in Michelle's hometown. We're not doing the thing where we travel to their four hometowns.
Right, right, right.
We're doing some kind of weird hybrid where all four of their families are going to come to Minneapolis. We're going to meet four consecutive families. Right. That is all of the episodes.
Right. We're still doing our soft COVID protocols, which I appreciate, but it does seem that there is a little bit more flexibility for people to move about the cabin. Michelle is fretting, obviously, about meeting some of the families. You know, the dynamics are all very different. I think she's still very stuck on Nate and, you know, the fact that she is going to be the first person that he's ever going to bring, quote unquote, home to meet his family.
Crazy.
You don't have to quote unquote. Well, I guess.
Yeah,
you,
I do.
You know what?
I do.
This is not home. You know what? I should not have said that.
Was
wrong.
Adam, this is the radio. I have to quote unquote. One thing I will mention is that Michelle is really killing the costume game tonight. A lot of really cool knit dresses. A lot of leather touches on things. You know, when the budget is hitting, the budget is hitting.
Do you think that's... Does she have a dresser or she picks those things?
Adam.
I honestly don't know. Somebody is dressing her.
Yeah. Okay. They have a costume person for the Bachelor.
Okay.
And then they shop, they buy items based on the style and the vibe of the person.
I was asking on behalf of the audience.
Oh, okay.
Totally just doing that.
Uh-huh.
Because I knew that. Well, sure. You were saying, I knew that.
And yet you were still plugged in on mukbang videos, so I would never have guessed that you would have had a question about this.
Well, you know, I'm the common man, the voice of the audience. It's convenient that I'm on the show.
You're full of surprises. So Michelle and Tayshia do a soft walkabout about, you know, what to expect from hometowns. As we know, Tayshia's a former bachelorette.
Recently single and hopefully loving it. And does she know I'm available?
The answer is no to all of those things.
Well,
but
if she's listening to the show right now,
it's the option.
I am available to her.
It is an option.
Not in general, but
I do wonder if they edited any of the stuff out about Zach. I mean, it would be very clear that, you know, it would not be great for her to say things like, I knew Zach was the one when we went to hometowns.
No, her circumstances have changed.
They have changed grossly.
Drama.
So a lot of the questions that Tayshia was asking were really directed at Michelle versus her giving advice. So it was kind of sad, right?
Maybe.
I mean, you're not sad because that means, you know, you're one step closer to the edge.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying
it's sort
of
one of those situations.
Yeah. So the guys are giving a lot of emotions, talking about their families coming. Nate is actually showing emotion about his family. He's very excited. Everybody's got a fresh haircut. So, you know, it's about to be a really good time. So Caitlin comes in and first on the docket is Brandon with his hometown date. What are your thoughts? Early thoughts, Adam?
You know what? Before we talk about Brandon,
okay.
I think And I genuinely mean this. Oh. We've been doing this for 19 seasons.
Long time. 200-plus episodes.
I think this is the first episode we've seen with entirely recycled dialogue. I don't think I heard one new thing out of anyone's mouth tonight at all. It was basically a clip show.
God.
You know, I don't want to turn people off to the episode because there's still all of our show left.
Sure, but I mean, we are the ones that make the dialogue interesting. Joe is not someone that I look to make dialogue interesting.
Or just make dialogue, period.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
So, all right, let's go to Brandon's first.
So, Brandon is from Portland. For those of you that don't know, Google it. Portland scares me. And,
thank God we didn't go there.
Oh my God. Thank God we didn't go to Portland.
Thank God we went to Minneapolis and then brought Portland to Minneapolis, allegedly.
Allegedly. So Brandon's activity, and I always love this whenever we have a, hometown date, someone picks the activity, plans the date. It's all very cute and fun. Brandon's activity is taking Michelle to the skate park. Guys, let's talk about Michelle's outfit. She was serving my aesthetic, which is lesbian adjacent. A black hoodie, ripped jeans, boots, flat boots to be exact. I mean, hoop earrings. I mean, who wouldn't want to date that? Me.
Exactly.
Who wouldn't want to wear that? Also me. I'm into it.
Right.
Don't let the hoodie be cashmere. It would be over.
That's not really appropriate skateboarding clothes.
I know. But
I mean, whatever. Yeah, I mean, how could you know? Right.
Exactly.
So we go skateboarding.
We go skateboarding.
This is allegedly something Brandon can do. He looks like he can almost skateboard.
I think
he can do all the stuff. He just crashes at the end.
I think it's exactly what Michelle said during the date that, you know, Brandon was very confident bringing me to the skate park, but I think he was nervous because he was in front of his girlfriend trying to perform.
Dangerous.
It's weird. He definitely can do the stuff.
He can do the stuff.
He just...
Like, you can
he
tell...
He just falls at the end.
Like, his footwork is there. You know what? It sounds really similar to what the Olympic skateboarding looked like.
That was so bad.
Over the summer.
That was so bad.
It was. Did we ever talk about that on the show?
It was a bunch of 13-year-olds falling over. And like getting hurt. And you're sitting there watching it like, is this sports? Like, somebody's mom should call the ambulance.
Well, you know.
It was not good.
It was not good.
This date, it was kind of cute.
It was cute.
Michelle, skateboarding, not something really with a learning curve to be doing on like your only date, you know, with your girlfriend.
No.
Because you're going to fall down and get hurt. Luckily, she's pretty athletic. You know, it's not ice skating. The best first aid exercise because no one can do it.
No.
It's a good date, right?
Right.
It is not the pinnacle of athleticism. It's a little bit just kind of weird and awkward, but everyone's having a good time.
So Brandon initially got into the skateboarding with his brother, and he said his mom and his dad also eventually got into it. I would like to see how that happened. But, you know, I think it's very sweet. And, you know, Brandon, as we said last week, has an earnestness about him that everything, even though, you know, he's got this sort of smoothness that he puts on, everything is very genuine about him. I don't believe that you would say anything about Brandon or say anything to Brandon and then he would lie to you about how he's feeling, much in the same way that Michelle feels.
Brandon is...
He's exactly who he showed you.
He's a good dude.
Yes.
You can't not like him, but at the same time, you can't take him seriously.
It's hard to take him seriously because he's, you
know... You
look
at that and you're like... This guy could be getting married. This child could be getting married?
Yeah.
What?
And then come to find out, he's like 27. You're like, really?
Yeah, but he's not. He's like 13.
I mean, he's like 14. I mean, he even looked 14 in his sort of skateboard getup.
So they skateboard. It is cute. It's very
sweet.
It's very rated G. It's very Brandon's thing.
It's very
right?
Brink. It's very, you know... I don't know.
Are you saying that like a good thing? Because Brink is an all-time classic movie.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Adam, that wasn't my favorite DCOM original. I mean, but I mean, we all have different aesthetics that we gravitate to.
Brink is absolutely my favorite. Mm-hmm. And my second favorite is Johnny Tsunami, because I'm an extreme sports athlete.
Johnny Tsunami is adjacent to Brink.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're the same thing.
And they're the same Brink is better. Thing. Yeah. So we get to the evening portion of the date. Let's go.
So Brandon's family, Brandon. So here's who is there. Yeah. It's Brandon's mom, his dad, and his brother.
Noah. Who delayed his deployment to the Navy so that he could be here, which is sweet.
The whole family.
Noah shows up and I think to myself, I don't know if that's his brother, but you know.
They got the same face.
Light skinned people, biracial people. I don't know.
The whole, yeah.
Make it make sense.
This entire episode, in case you weren't ready, there's four families, there's four white moms, and there's four black dads or stepfathers, whatever.
Yes.
Everyone is mixed race, and it's always white mom, black dad.
It's been quite a while since we've seen a black mom on this show. I think the casting directors need to do a better job with that. But here we are.
So the thing about Brandon's family is that they're all just like Brandon.
They are very earnest.
They're all like simple and basic. Yes. And like super, super sugary sweet.
Yes.
And it's almost hard to take them seriously and not feel like they're trying to hide something, but that's just the way they are.
So Brandon's mom said a couple of things that I thought were weird. Obviously, when we do hometowns, there's always a personality of a parent that shows up. There's the skeptical parent. There's the, you know,
you're still dating three other guys?
Right. There's the one person who's like, well, you are dating three other people.
How long have you really known each other?
Right.
A month or two?
Right. There's always that person. Then there's the person that is sort of like, you know, well, we trust your decisions and you've made great decisions thus far. So can't the person that has resigned themselves to the process. Then there is the overbearing mother. This is the mom that cries at the drop of a hat. This is the mom that's like, you know, this, my child is my best friend. This is the mom that is saying things like, Brandon's mom, it's odd for him to be dating someone I haven't met.
Do you know how the show works?
That's weird.
Hey,
right?
Mom, what do you think was going to happen here?
Like, I mean, it's weird that anybody is dating anybody that nobody's ever met. I mean, I don't know. Like, that's just how people meet each other. It was very weird. And even when they first came into the room, she was the first person to stand up and, like, ran to Brandon and lunged at him. Again.
Get this out of the way.
Again. I'm not saying that you can't love your child. And that's not what I'm saying. And I don't have any children. So I don't really know what the appropriate, how I would act if I was in that situation. However, flags.
What?
It's weird. It's weird. I don't love it.
I don't know. The date just felt very, extra smooth. Mm-hmm. It didn't, nobody said anything.
No.
You know, mom goes, hey, Brandon, what do you like about Michelle? And he says, the thing that everyone says that you just instantly know is fake, I like the way she holds herself. She's a strong woman.
What is that supposed
Every
to be?
Every contestant.
Do you like the way I hold myself? I have excellent core strength.
I
do a lot of Pilates.
I've just, like, she's a strong woman seems like a cop-out. Tell me what you like. Don't generalize. Specify.
Yeah.
Now is the time to zoom in and specify.
So one of the things that Brandon's family continues to say is that, you know, Brandon seems one way on the surface, but he really is a great person and he's a great guy. It's almost like they're trying to convince Michelle that, like, that smooth talking 17-year-old Drake voice that he has is not the real him. And the more that I've seen of Brandon over the course of the season, that is true.
They're right.
They're totally right.
But everyone knows this is weird.
And that's the thing. That's the beauty of seeing the family where that part is charming, where they're like, we know he does this.
Like, it comes out of
that's just
everyone.
His,
it just comes out of everyone's mouth.
That's literally just his voice.
Hey, it's weird,
it's
right?
weird, right? And so even his mom kept saying, like, I just want her to see him for who he is. I felt like that was super weird that she kept saying that and saying it in that way, both in her In the Moment interviews, in her discussions that she was talking to Brandon and his dad and his brother, separate from Michelle. And then she even said it to Michelle. I'm like, I don't know who you're trying to convince. And it almost was like she was trying to give her a hard sell too, which again, it's weird. It's just all weird, Mom.
We haven't had a contestant like Brandon in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe ever. There's honestly, the substance is totally clean and pure and honest. Oh my God.
He's absolutely transparent.
He's the exact opposite of every guy in the show. Every guy in the show is just a sack of human garbage.
Right.
They're trying to dress it up like they're honorable and noble. They're sending
their representatives.
He is the opposite. He actually is like a good, nice dude.
Yes.
But he comes off like he's this.
Yes. Yes.
It's so weird.
Yes.
And
he's like a little corny and cheesy.
He just doesn't, I don't know. That would grind me so fast.
That would grind you?
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole, because it feels fake.
Really?
I know it's not. I know that he's actually, like, he actually is a good dude in there. But the outside of it is so...
I think it would be really hard for me to... You know, the family, you know, they're like, oh, we know he's like this. But, like, him meeting my friends would be like, why is he talking this like that? Bad. Why is... Can he stop talking like that? Or they'd be like, Brandon is... so weird. Like, is he really like that? And the more that they get to know him, they would be like, he's just corny. He's literally just Russell Wilson.
I mean,
anyway,
he is what he is. This is Brandon. The whole date goes relatively uneventful. Gets along.
Michelle is amazing. She's disarming his dad and, you know, already talking about the family spending time together. She's picturing them together, and I think that's a really big deal. So at the end of the date, they end it with sort of their soft recap of how everything went, and she says to him, I am falling for you, which is big.
Is it?
Okay.
Is it? I mean, I feel like we're all just saying things at this point, you know?
We're just putting words together.
I just don't, like, I cannot get over how just unoriginal all four of these dates were and how all of it was just stuff I've heard on the show so much before.
I mean,
and,
the whole
falling for you thing, like, this is the 19th season of this and I just can't get worked up about it. I can't go on and believe in the progression anymore. It's just not gonna work for me.
I mean, at a certain point, once you get all the funny business out of there, it is a procedural. We know exactly how it's supposed to happen. And you know what? And every week that it doesn't go the way that it's supposed to happen, we complain. So what is the truth?
I would rather have it go that way.
Okay.
This date is just harmless and
it is
spotless
harmless.
And polished and routine and repetitive.
Okay.
It's not Brandon's fault. It's just that's what the show is at this point.
Great. Next up is Rodney at the Apple Orchard, a.k.a. Rancho Cucamonga.
So...
as we know, Rodney
I think he doesn't try to do the whole, I'm going to bring Rancho Cucamonga.
No.
I think he goes, we're going to just be in Minneapolis.
Right.
We're going to go to an apple orchard.
Because you and me have a thing for with apples, which I think is cute that he's bringing it up.
He goes, hey, you know, Minneapolis made this apple called the First Kiss Apple. Looked it up. Totally real.
Legit.
Totally real. The, like, agriculture department at the university made it. And it's real. So they go apple picking. They eat apples. They, for like the eighth time, they do blindfolded taste testing. You know, he needs a new move. But,
again, Rodney has a similar sort of transparency thing that Brandon has. I think he's more friend-zoned than Brandon is. But they have a lot of fun together. And he really is light on his feet in general. I think the one issue with their relationship is, for Michelle, she wants to see multiple sides of you. And Rodney's only really showing her one side. And I think that kind of gives her pause.
Dumb.
Rodney's really, like, pushing the boundaries with how far you can go without being sexually threatening in the least, which I appreciate.
As I mean, do you know something about that?
That's like my style, personally.
I know.
I'm not a man.
It took you quite some time to be sexually threatening to me.
You know what?
Quite some time.
It works.
Did it? Eventually.
I mean, we're married.
We had to sit on it.
Yeah. I mean,
definitely had to sit on it.
The thing about Rodney is that there are four guys left, and Rodney is the nicest and the most fun and everything.
He's always happy.
He is just not physically on... He is physically multiple levels removed from the other three guys. But he's fun.
He is fun.
He's having a good time. You can have a better time with Rodney than probably anybody there. He's a good guy.
Yep.
He's just not like, there's a line of how hot you got to be, and he's below it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And especially for Michelle. Like, Michelle's she's hot.
They're on different.
I mean, she's no Tayshia, but she's hot.
Whoa. Wow. They're on different atmospheres. But you know what? They have a great time on the date because that's what you do with Rodney. You have a good time with him.
So we go to the evening portion of the date, and the first thing that mom basically says, his mother says, in her in the moment, is that Rodney and I are best friends.
The story of this date, I think that the story of this date, or the non-story of this date, depending on how you want to look at it, is Rodney's mother.
Yes. So Rodney's
slash
mom.
Best friend.
Right.
Sorry, what I meant was Rodney's best friend.
Rodney's best friend.
I live with my best friend.
I live with my best friend. Oh, God. So Rodney's mom is also remarried as well. So his stepfather is there with us. Pops. He calls them moms and pops.
I love that. Do you? I love it.
Okay.
It's so wholesome. Okay. Rodney's a good dude.
You know, again, I'm not a parent, and I struggle with how
involved.
Yes.
Emotionally staked.
Okay. These are really the phrases that I was looking for.
Yeah.
How involved and emotionally staked a parent could get in the exploits and relationships of their children to a point where
you're crying on national television
on national television about somebody breaking up with your child. Now, I see on the one hand, like, I don't want my child to get hurt, and I don't want their feelings to be hurt, and I don't want them to be sad. Okay. But why are we crying? Why are there tears involved? Why are you crying? It didn't happen to you.
She is a lot. So
she's a lot.
Just Let's say, hypothetically, you're a parent of a kid who's going to be, like, the contestant on the show.
Got it.
You have to understand, everyone else is, like, all the other parents, their kids are single. You know? You can't sit there, and first of all, she talks in this weird, creepy, like, loud whisper, which is very weird.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
You can't just sit there and be like, how is my son single? How is this possible? Listen, everyone's kids are single. It's a dating show.
I mean, I could give you a list. I mean, I don't think she's ever dated men because they are. Oof.
So look around. First
look around.
Of all,
read a book.
That.
Yeah.
You know, the situation you're in is the same situation everyone else is in. You're not unique. Okay.
Right.
You know, you're not the main character of the universe.
Right.
First of all. Second of all, here's what I wrote down about Rodney's mom. She is exhaustingly generic.
Yeah.
She is extra nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She is extremely emotional without any original emotions.
So the other thing that I did want to mention is that this conversation comes up a couple of times. It came up with Rodney's mom, and it also comes up with Nate's mom. There's a conversation about how parents are worried about what is life going to be like outside of this bubble. And I want to make the distinction that Michelle has been super clear about who she is and what she values as a person. Whereas we've seen in a number of seasons previously where the contestants have been a little bit more open to the idea that they will make their income as influencers. And the show has breeded a community of people who are focused on social media, posting, getting likes, clicks, from that kind of
thing.
But
at least that's a recipe for a healthy relationship. And that's why they all stay together.
And that's why the parents are so concerned. So I struggle with, one, the fact that the show has not done a great job of creating a narrative for Michelle. I see it because I know and I'm plugged in. But of creating a narrative for Michelle where she's like, we're moving back to
Minneapolis.
And
you guys can't see us. Every time it's time to tell what city we're in, Taylor just points at me. She points. And like, this is my cue to remind us geographically where we are.
And this guy. So that we're moving back to Minneapolis and I'm going to be a teacher and I'm basically going to get off social media. And then that's it. So the bubble thing, I struggle with that being like a topic of conversation because it's not a reality for Michelle. Now, I'll eat my words and eat my hat if, you know, all of a sudden she's like, you know, peddling flat tummy tea on Instagram, but I highly doubt that that's the case.
I mean, I get it. It's weird that your kid is meeting somebody on a national dating show.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But
Michelle's
just not like that. Like, she's just not.
But also, your kid signed up for the show. Your child chose to meet somebody this way.
On television.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's not like it's a scenario you blindly ended up in.
Right.
It's a situation you chose.
Not to mention the bubble you're talking about is that we've been sitting at this resort for 2 months because we're in a global pandemic. I haven't been traveling all over the world like we usually do. Please.
I mean, it's weird, but you know what? If your kid goes to the bar looking to meet girls, you're not going to be like, oh my God, you met somebody at a bar?
What are you going to do outside of this bubble?
They were trying to do that.
I've never met it. I've never been in a situation where I had to meet someone that he was dating, that I didn't know someone my child was dating.
We've seen it all before. We've seen this 10,000 times. We've seen the exhausted mother. We've seen, Rodney's family is fine. I don't want to be like,
they're
Rodney's
fine.
Family is weird.
They're nice.
Rodney and his mom are really close.
His stepdad was in the room as well.
I can't guarantee he said anything.
I don't know what he said.
I can't guarantee he said anything. He certainly was there, or a very accurate portrayal of him was there.
Right.
So that was it.
Okay. Next up is Joe, who had little traveling to do.
Good news. We're in Joe's hometown already.
We're in Joe's hometown.
Righty there.
And I think you'll be surprised as to what kind of date he chose. It was a date that Michelle already executed for him that he basically copied.
We went to Joe's high school.
Isn't it so weird that Michelle took him to her high school and then he said, wait, what is the one thing that I could do that would be the least amount of work for me? Why don't I do the same thing?
It's weird.
And then I don't have to talk.
It's weird because if the shoe were on the other foot,
right,
I feel like Michelle would say, let me show you a glimpse of what my current life is about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If not even just Michelle, if literally anybody was in their hometown dating somebody on like one of the last dates ever before they have to propose to them, I feel like at some point you would say, this is what I do currently. This is what you and I would do together now if we were together.
I would never in my life take somebody that I'm planning on getting married to walk the halls of my high school. I wouldn't even do that to you right now. And we've been together for more than 10 years.
It feels like Joe has just never, ever, ever moved on from
being this
18-year-old Mr. Basketball.
Yep.
You know, it's just he can only talk with emotion about his basketball career and how dramatic his injury was.
Yes.
What drama?
You know, at some point, like, I'm 34.
Sure.
If I met somebody new and they said, tell me about yourself, I wouldn't say, well, 15 years ago, I used to run cross country. I would never say that. I would say, I have a podcast about this, you know, about The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
About The Bachelorette with my wife.
I read books. I have a dog. I have a wife. Like, I would start with who I am now.
Right.
You Absolutely. Know? Not like run back my glory days and be like, this is still the thing that defines me.
Absolutely. And that, in the long term, scares me about their relationship. But I don't know where she's skewing, whether it's more important for her to have someone that's so similar to her dad and the strong, silent type, or if it's more important for her to have somebody that, I don't know.
Joe is just a pile of red flags.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, you see him talking to the camera or doing his VOs or whatever, and he's always like, I've come such a long way. Michelle has made me this verbose talker about all of my feelings. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Are you sure? Because his audio, when you see him walking around the high school, is still being Franken-edited. I don't know if I'm saying Franken-edited. So,
you got it.
It's still being Franken-edited. To the point where you see the back of his head and he's talking. How did they put all that together and make it into a coherent sentence? Because he can't speak.
It's not, he can't, and he doesn't, and he thinks he's doing it.
He is obsessed with high school. He's obsessed with high school. He's obsessed with a dream that he's lost, and I don't love it.
She doesn't seem to care.
She doesn't seem to care.
She goes, yeah, I want to go on a prom date where we can both act like we're still in high school. I mean.
Right. So that's the second part of this date, that he recreates prom. So that the two of them can go together. And as we know, you know, Michelle detailed about how she was picked last for to get a date to prom. And Joe reveals that he never went to prom because I can't imagine that he spoke to anybody.
Too busy playing basketball.
And he was definitely too busy playing basketball. So he even says to her, the one thing that he says to her during this prom date where they take pictures and everything and then nobody's talking except Michelle, I see something and I feel something, in reference to how he feels to Michelle.
Wow, how specific.
Eloquent.
How specific.
Eloquent.
All they do is kiss each other.
Because
they don't have a relationship where they talk. Or, like, nobody's ever laughing. No one's ever having a good time.
And the show doesn't have any footage. They don't have any footage of them talking because he's not talking.
If that happened, they would show it. If there was any footage of it, they would show it. But they don't.
They don't because they have none. None. So, we meet Joe's family.
That's the date.
Yeah. And so, when we meet Joe's family, we meet Joe's dad, his mom, his brother, and his sister-in-law, Hannah? Heather.
Hannah.
Guess who does all the talking while we're here?
It's Hannah. Nobody from Joe's life
is carrying this date. Hannah and Joe's mom are carrying this date.
All of the men in this family are, do they just don't talk?
Honestly, his brother said, what did he say?
Nothing.
He said like one small phrase. He said something like, oh yeah, for sure. That was it. That's all he said.
Here's a real life reenactment. I'm going to be both sides of the conversation between Joe and his dad.
Yep.
This is the conversation, first conversation they've ever had about the girl that Joe is potentially about to propose to.
Right.
Here's how it goes. Dad says, how's it going? Joe goes, good. Dad goes, no further questions. And that's the end of the conversation.
That's literally the end of the conversation. So Michelle walks in and, you know, she talks about, you know, Joe is definitely the strong, silent type, you know, very similar to my dad. And, you know, I see a lot in him. And Hannah is honestly the only person that's asking her any questions. His mom is interjecting when she can. But honestly, nobody is talking. No one's talking. This would drive...
Who has a family like this?
This would drive me crazy. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, my parents are super talkative, but, like, you know, when they're together, they kind of banter, and then there's a little bit of a kiki, and we're telling stories, and then every once in a while, people laugh, and it's fine. But, like, this would burn me up. Imagine going to Thanksgiving at this house.
Nope.
That would be hell.
I would throw myself off of a building, honestly. Can you imagine?
What if instead during Thanksgiving you just sat and listened to somebody eating a whole bunch of dinner?
It's got to be
instead of having a conversation.
It's got to be. No, it's different. The video is different than actually watching somebody do it. I don't want to watch somebody. I want to watch the video, and I want it like in my headphones. Anyway,
it would be weird to do in person.
So as Adam mentioned, when Joe and his dad talked, nothing. They didn't talk. Joe was almost like trying to pull something out of his dad and was asking him like, I mean, do you have any other questions? And then Joe's dad literally said,
Nope,
I don't. Not even. And it's so different for Joe's dad to just say no rather than, you know, you make really good choices and I trust your decisions. Yeah. He didn't say that. He just said no and said nothing. So then Michelle and Joe's mom then talk more about, you know, hey, your son doesn't talk. What's that about? And then Michelle, you know, is basically retelling her about, you know, the only time that Joe's really shown any emotion was when he was talking about his injuries in high school. And and his mom said, you know, it was a really tough time for him. You know, I didn't even really know how difficult it was for him. Lady, your son almost killed himself. Killed himself. Excuse me. He almost committed suicide because he was so depressed about the gravity of his injuries. And you are sitting here on this television just saying, oh, you know, I just didn't know it was a really dark time for him. Listen, we're going to say this with Nate and I'm saying it with Joe, but I'm going to say it now. People need to talk to each other. Just speak to one another. And it's not enough for you to come on this show or say to somebody else, you know, well, we just never talked in my house, so I never learned how to talk. Figure it out. Because if you start talking, other people will start talking to you. Period. That's how it works. Everybody's got to talk. It's not one way.
This is an unbearable family. Like, mom is a little bit just unstable. Dad is straight up unliving. It's a weekend at Joe's dad's house over here.
Truly. Hannah is trying to gather everybody together. Joe's brother isn't saying shit.
It's not a scary movie. It's a silent movie, and that's worse.
Right. Artist should not have won that Academy Award. I didn't want to watch The Artist, and we just did it for 20 minutes.
I can't imagine that Michelle or literally anyone alive on planet Earth could walk out of this date and be like, this family seems like a nice one to be a part of. It's what?
Again, if they had the footage of them talking, they would have shown it to us, and they didn't.
Just imagine the burden of being in this family. You have to do everything.
It would drive me up a wall. What have I been saying this entire season? I want to be able to leave somebody alone at a party. What am I going to do with Joe?
I can't go anywhere with him. You can't be alone with Joe because you have to do all of the talking.
I guess that date went well. I think Michelle thinks
it went well. I look at it and I'm horrified.
I really struggle with her sort of, again, the attachment of her being like, you know, my dad and my brother are very similar to Joe in this sort of strong, silent type. You know, that is something that I'm attracted to. And she sees that in Joe. And her and Joe honestly are the same person. And who wouldn't want to date themselves?
Who could want Joe?
He's light-skinned. He's got light eyes. He's cute.
I mean, I get it, but, like, you gotta be intellectually stimulated.
You gotta give me something.
I value conversation so much.
You gotta give me something. You really do.
He has nothing for me.
He has nothing.
She kind of likes it.
I guess.
Inexplicably kind of likes it.
So, Joe eventually says, after meeting the family, specifically, I am falling in love with you, and they kiss. I wanted to pull my eyelashes out.
Joe keeps talking about how he's so excited that he's talking so much. And I just...
Are you talking a lot?
It's uncomfortable for everyone. You know?
So we get to the final date.
The last date is with Nate.
It's Nate on a lake where we get the Austin hometown date.
This date... The activity date... This date has everything. They go paddleboarding, which is Nate's favorite little hobby from Austin.
He said he does it like three or four times a week, which is like...
That's how you get in really good shape. Paddleboarding is hard.
Are you at work?
It's a very cute date.
It's a very cute date.
Like, he can kind of do it. It's her first time. And instead of it just being painful, like Brandon's skateboarding date, she just sort of sits on top of his paddleboard and he paddles her around. And that's so appropriate.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't love that?
And he's very good at it. And so it was so interesting that she said upon their sort of first re-seeing each other that she said, I mean, I'm nervous and I'm nervous around you. She hasn't said that about anybody.
There's a reason she's saying it.
Girl, okay. I think the big question here is that Nate has been pretty clear about how much he loves Austin and, you know, he loves living there and the vibe and everything. You know, Michelle has been pretty clear about when this is all over, we're going home.
Good news. I mean, I don't know this about Austin, but to me it seems like a city that's really great until you get married and, like, want to have a family and then you have to move somewhere else.
It is Texas.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
You know, him moving to Minneapolis, he brings it up. And I think he seems, like, decently open to it.
Yeah. I mean, he seems...
I'll go to Minneapolis, yeah.
He seems like a very flexible person in a general sense. So I'm not 100% worried about him being like, I need to be in Austin and I'm not going to leave. So, and plus he's got that cute dog. Remember?
That dog can travel, though.
Oh, that dog is so sweet.
I mean, every dog is sweet.
So, Nate sort of... gives Michelle some of this coded language about how he's been feeling, about, you know, oh, he's head over heels for her, and, you know, does that whole cool guy thing. Well, like, you know how I feel about you, and, like, you know I'm crazy about you, right? I mean,
is that a thing guys do?
Yeah.
I've never dated a guy. Is that a thing a guy
does?
I mean,
it's a way for a guy to say that he likes you without specifically using the word I like you, because...
Oh, it's like a trap
because
date.
That is, like, because... Even saying that phrase, I like you, is a lot of pressure. And then on top of that, it's also easy for him to kind of sideswipe it and say, oh, you know, we're just having so much fun and I'm just so crazy about you. I'm like, no, you need to, you know, use your words and communicate. Communication is really big in this episode.
So I would say to Michelle, the first three dates did not really have any sticking points. No. There wasn't a lot of drama in the first three dates. And so... the show kind of gets to the fourth date and they go, we got to make something happen.
Right.
We have to force something to come up where people can be crying or experiencing right. a first or whatever.
So let's set the stage here. So before we go into the evening portion of the date, Nate discloses that he will have both his mom and his stepdad there. Now, his mother and stepdad... are recently divorced. And when we say recently, it's been 18 months.
I don't want to be like, maybe this isn't the right time, but does this seem like the right time to be putting everyone in the same room?
I don't think this might be the right time to be putting everyone in the same room. I think everybody's going to have a lot of feelings, and a lot of feelings about specifically marriage, relationships, whether things work or not. And they're going to have a lot of strong opinions about it.
It's hanging over everything.
It really
is.
It's
kind of undeniable.
It's looming. Yeah. Right?
It's standing there in the corner.
It is.
It's undeniable.
It is. It is that. Also, as we talked about last week, this is the first time that Nate is bringing anybody home. So there have been no conversations or people that Nate has brought home. Probably from some combination of I'm in high school and I'm a young person and why would I bring somebody home to meet my family? And then also the rules that he mentioned that his dad originally had about bringing anybody home. And then on top of that, another set of families that don't talk about anything.
So when he said his dad, does he mean this guy? Is he calling his stepdad his dad? When he said last week, my dad and I never talked about girls or relationships. Is it this guy?
That's a good question. I don't know. Because I think if it was his stepdad, he would have said, my stepdad, Charles, I think, rather than his dad.
It's kind of
mother. Because as mentioned, Nate's father is African. So I feel like there is some element of culturally don't bring any girls home from his birth father. And then... his stepfather has a different set of rules. And
to be fair, I don't think Nate's talked to either one of these guys about a girl before, so I don't really know if it matters.
I absolutely know he hasn't. Or
his mom, actually.
Right.
This is like, he shows up, and basically this is the first date or anything his parents, mom and stepdad, whatever you want to call
right.
them, have ever met.
Right. Come to find out, his mom is a teacher. So I thought that was a very interesting tidbit of information.
Here's a connection.
Yeah.
Has this come up?
No, I have not heard this, unless I wasn't listening.
This has got to be something the two of them have bonded over. And exactly. You wonder why, like, Nate got the first impression rose. Maybe this has been a giant player in the decision to prioritize Nate so much, and we didn't know.
Right. And so Michelle even said to his mom that, you know, Nate and I have all these great conversations. We go back and forth between, you know, talking about really intellectual things and then just goofing around. So he's got the total package in terms of being able to communicate to me in that way.
This is a nice thing to say.
Right.
It's not, you know, I'm tired. Well, they're just so strong.
Right.
And this is a real specific thing that actually matters
right.
in a relationship.
Right.
You got to do all of it. You got to have the serious stuff. Yep. You got to have the fun stuff. Yep. You know, 90% of the time, you're just talking about what you're going to order for dinner. You got to have somebody who can do that. Okay?
That's right.
You know?
So let's talk about the parents and the advice that they gave over the course of this evening portion of the date.
It feels like, given the information that we know about them,
yeah.
they are not certainly qualified to be giving us this advice.
I would like to call them unreliable narrators, right?
Okay.
You know, mom is saying things like, he's never been with anyone this serious, and I'm concerned that he's swept up in the magic of all this. Now, I already said everything that I want to say about Michelle versus the influencer stereotype, but
mom is a process skeptic for sure.
Right. She's definitely a process skeptic, but how can she say that he's never been this serious with anyone when this is the first person that you've seen him bring home? And previously, you've basically told him, don't bring anybody home, or provided an environment for him where he would feel comfortable enough to bring someone home. So your reasoning to say that he's never been this serious with anyone doesn't make sense.
Well, to me, it kind of does make sense, because she's saying he's never been serious with anyone.
You know.
But that's the same thing. She's saying, I've never seen him serious enough to bring anybody home before. This is the first time, so maybe it crosses some seriousness threshold.
I think she was saying it in connection to, he's getting swept up in the fantasy of this, so he's not really serious about Michelle.
That's how the show works, Mom.
Right.
You don't get to meet him unless he's four people away from winning.
Right.
And at that point, he's four people away from winning, so it's serious.
Right. It seems very clear that everybody's just giving them bad advice because they just got divorced.
I honestly think there's a little bit, the conversation that Nate's parents have with Nate and with Michelle, there's a little bit of that in all four of the conversations. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure all the parents say something like, well, you know, this isn't really a normal way to meet people.
Girl, we
and
know.
There's not really a track record of this working.
It's not normal to meet somebody on the internet, but people do it every day.
I think everyone says this. They just edit it out of most of them, and then they keep it in one, and they play this dramatic music
right.
like it's a big deal.
Right.
By the end of the date, I don't feel like they're super wrapped up in it. I don't feel like they don't think it's going to work. I feel like everyone just sort of had this moment, you know, Nate and Charles.
His stepdad.
They have a nice moment where they're like, Hey, listen, I love you. We haven't talked about it before, but
right.
like, now seems like the right time.
Right.
You know, and it was kind of, you didn't feel like the family was on the outs or anything here.
No, but it did feel like a lot of their advice was colored by some more recent experiences. Like, you know, Charles kind of pushing back on Nate and saying, you know, you're telling me that this relationship is all new and how you feel is new, but how do you know if it's real?
What do you know?
Right.
First of all.
Like, I mean, I don't...
It was weird.
It was weird. It did give me pause because, again, this is another one of those communication things. And I think, hopefully, Nate, in having that conversation with Charles and telling him that he loves him, that you got to give a little bit of something up in order to get something back. And so in the same way that Nate can say until he's blue in the face, like, oh, my family, we really didn't talk about stuff like that. Nate is extremely dismissive when it comes to his emotions. He even says himself, you know, when he starts to feel it, and you can even see it on the show, when he starts to feel it, he says, oh, no, that's all good. Or, oh, no, we don't need to talk about that. Or, oh, no, he did it to Michelle. He did it to, you know, Charles when he was getting ready to tell him that he loved him. He's going to do that forever. And so do you want to be like that when you're in the middle of a serious conversation? He goes, oh, no, it's all right. It's actually not. It's actually not. So this gave me pause about Nate.
It's a little troubling, but I feel like there's a lot of dynamics at play here with the whole family. Yes. And it's not just what's going on with Nate and Michelle.
No.
It's kind of what's going on with, you know, there's a lot of people here and it's everyone's got a weird history with everyone. Yeah. Like what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's strange.
And it's maybe the first time that they've all been in a room together because it's COVID. And then that is also a dynamic, as we know. So
she walks away from it and she kind of feels, you know, worse than the first three. Because the first three were nothing dates.
Right.
And this one was kind of like, well, something happened here.
Right.
So that's where we end up. Yeah. That's how the four dates go.
Yeah. So Michelle's in a contemplative state. And during that time period, we get a surprise visit from two of our best girls.
Wow. Certainly one of my favorites.
Yes. From Bree and Serena.
It's Bree and Serena.
From Matt's season. They were in the final four together. And Bree looks great in her braids and so amazing.
Serena looks great.
And she's always great. She's so amazing. Interesting also, she was wearing her engagement ring from Bachelor in Paradise. So
To Grocery Store Joe.
And it was very clear that when she was talking, she was trying to hide her ring. She put her hand over her.
It was
It was very interesting.
It was kind of a nothing conversation. It was a move the story along type thing.
Right.
It was just a vehicle for Michelle to say, hey, it's really hard. I like all these guys. They're all super great. You know, I didn't expect they'd be this great.
Right.
But I have to get rid of one of them.
I do love a friendship cameo, though. Especially from those two.
That's why these people are under contract.
Especially from those two. So, I think it's time for end of the road or final or the rose ceremony.
The rose ceremony and literally no one is surprised.
No.
You know, let's talk about the end of the road for Rodney.
We lose Rodney. Rodney was never going to make it, and I think we all need to make peace with that.
I mean, fourth place is a miraculous finish for Rodney.
Yes. Rodney talked a lot, and Michelle talked a lot about him being the underdog in this situation. And I do think that's true. I mean, he was friend-zoned early on, but she really, really, really liked him. And, you know, frankly, I do think it's kind of weird and gross that they're using, you know, the underdog also phrase to describe Clayton's season. Why did I say Colton? I was reading an article about him to describe Clayton's season. It's kind of weird. But Rodney was just so sweet. But it just was never going to happen for him.
Here is a thing that I think is unchallengeable about this season. Of the contestants on here, eventually, Rodney will make some woman way happier than any of the other guys will make any woman ever.
Yes.
It is just not going to be Michelle.
Right.
It needs, he's a great guy. He just needs someone more physically compatible with him.
I do believe that these four with, you know, whatever small problems we do have with them and, you know, how they're communicating, whether or not they are, this is probably the strongest final four that we've had in a really, really long time.
I don't have a small problem with Joe. I have a big problem with Joe.
Yeah.
He is a nothing, you know?
He's just hot.
You're never going to get down to four guys left and just have four aces. It's never going to happen.
No.
It's impossible.
But I think it's a strong group where everybody, I can understand why she would pick each one of them, even though we have problems with each one of them.
Yeah.
Which I think if people look back in the annals of history of the show,
Obviously. No one's going to like pull out their history books and open up to like 1420 or something.
I don't know. This is pre-printing press.
The annals of history. Like,
yeah.
Well, Gutenberg was saying.
I think this is probably the strongest Final Four that we've had in a really long time of guys that are like, you know, any of these choices would be good. Not for me, but any of these choices would be good.
I do. I mean, I feel like three of them are good people. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, then let's talk about our final three then. Who's your number three?
My number three is Joe. I'm very unattracted to a person who can't hold a conversation. And the longer the show goes on, the more of the percentage of the show is dedicated to Joe, and the worse he performs at conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can hide a guy when there's 20. You can hide a guy who doesn't talk. You can hide a guy who doesn't talk when there's 5. When there's 3, that's a problem.
That's a problem. My number three is Nate. I think...
Wow.
I know. And this is a big... I thought about this a lot. I do softly agree with his mom in the sort of swept up nature of Nate. He seems like that kind of person. You know, because he also seems to be the kind of person that wants to get other people swept up with him. It's a lot of sweeping. He needs a big broom.
Manual labor.
But the dismissive sort of response to him getting deep with his emotions, I think that is going to be a big thing for Michelle. And it's clear that if he's doing it enough on TV, then that means he's doing it in conversation with her. And she's going to still need to work on him to fix him, or not fix him, but to work through that.
I'm sorry.
Ooh, bite my tongue. She's going to try to continue to work through that with him. And I think there's somebody that is doing a better job at being transparent.
Wow. I disagree big time.
Okay.
Who's your number two?
My number two is Joe.
You're going to punish Nate.
Yeah.
You're going to keep... On top of him, you're going to keep the guy who literally cannot talk.
Because again, I pick mine based on who she's going to pick, not who I want her to pick and who I think is right. I think with Joe, they're so much alike. And I think she will... They're the same. To me, they seem like the same person.
Except when the two of them are in the same room, one person's doing 95% of the communication.
Which is also attractive to her. So there are these two parts of her that are warring.
You don't need another person to do 95%. You can be in a relationship with furniture and do all of the conversation work. I mean, you don't need a human to do that.
I do love my couch. So... I think that there are these two sides of her that are warring with each other about, oh, Joe talks to me. It doesn't matter if he talks to other people.
Does he?
I can only imagine that the experience that they're going to have at the fantasy suite is going to be amazing, because the cameras are going to be off and he's really going to be able to like let loose, which is, I think, all she wanted. So, I mean, frankly...
What if he lets loose and it's just horribly underwhelming?
That's why he's my number two.
That's what I would expect from him.
That's why he's my number two.
My number two is... Hey, girl, it's Brandon.
Hey, baby.
I'm number two in the power rankings. Yes. Number one in your heart. Brandon.
It's Brandon on the quiet fire.
I like who he is. I just hate the way he is about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how a person could put up with that for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could be in a relationship with Brandon in real life. I like him. He's a good dude. It's not his fault. This is his first real life woman he's been with. It's not his fault. It is his fault that he has the sixth graders... pickup mentality.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Who's your number one?
Yeah. My number one is Nate.
Yeah.
I like Nate. Warts and all, I like Nate.
Yeah.
Wasn't a great episode for him.
It was not.
But like, he just brings so much that the other two guys can't even dabble.
They can't even fathom. They can't even
dip into it.
Yeah, that's right.
He's more fun to be around.
You do love a charismatic girl. He's more
versatile.
That's attractive to you. You love a charismatic girl.
I do. I like it when somebody can hold the gravity of a room. Mm-hmm. That is attractive to me.
Yeah.
I need a partner here. Okay?
Yeah.
I need Nate.
You need Nate. My number one is Brandon. And I struggle with this. Because, you and should. I know you're so mad at me.
You should. I'm not mad. Nothing about me dislikes Brandon.
Right.
I just don't know how long you could put up with the style of Brandon.
I think Brandon's transparency is unmatched compared to Joe and Nate, where you have to pull stuff out of Joe and Nate. You don't have to do that with Brandon. And Michelle has been really clear in my mind that communication, talking about your emotions, sharing is super important to her. And Brandon, because he acts like a virgin, would worship the ground that she walks on, would drink her bath water, excuse my French, would be...
But how sustainable is that? You know, like the pitfall of transparency is that what happens when what you can see through it isn't great?
But I mean, but
what when there's no blockers and you can see this is exactly who this guy is, but who he is like,
I
mean, how valuable is transparency there?
I think he has a lightness to him that I think is probably really attractive to her. That she can also be light with him.
But can she be heavy with him?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I mean, and they haven't talked about, like, she hasn't made that same distinction that she did with Nate, talking about how they can very much do both, talk about the intellectual stuff and the deep stuff, and then, you know, be fun and playful. She hasn't said that about Brandon.
I think if I were ranking her guys, I would have done it exactly the opposite that you did.
Yeah.
Nate, I would have gone still with Nate first, Joe second, and then Brandon third. I think she's going to eliminate Brandon next because she lets him get by with this thing, like the transparency thing, because she's not really seriously considering him. I think she's seriously considering Nate and Joe, and Brandon is a nice to have, I think.
Okay.
Just put
I really struggle because this was the first sort of
it does feel
power
like
ranking where I just my whole I was extremely influenced by hometowns, more than I've been influenced by hometowns in a very long time.
It does feel like the three that we are left with are closer. It doesn't feel like a runaway. Like most seasons, you can just go, oh, well, this is over.
But exactly.
It doesn't feel like a runaway.
No.
It does feel competitive.
It feels competitive.
And I'm not just saying that to keep our listeners going.
No, it really does. It feels like everybody's very close. And even if we get to the end where it's Joe and Nate, I really don't know who she's going to pick. I know who I want it to be. And
how could anybody be with Joe?
I know.
I just don't get it.
I know who I want it to be. But of all the times where I've kind of looked at spoilers and like been like, oh, I absolutely haven't looked. So I really don't know who she's going to pick. I have no idea. I know it's not going to be Brandon, but I really think Brandon had a stronger episode than the two of them, skewed my numbers.
The only way to find out who she's going to pick is to keep listening to our show. Don't watch the actual
show.
Don't
watch that.
Just keep listening
That's
to
trash.
Our show every Wednesday morning.
Yes.
That's what you should do.
That's right. Okay, gang. Well, we'll catch you on the flip side. I think, is tomorrow December? Is it December? Okay. Well, bing bong.
Okay.
Happy holidays.
If you don't like drama, why are you the bachelorette? I'm really like an anti-drama person. It's the bachelor's bachelorette. Like there's drama, a sea of drama. Yes, it can cause drama.
Get into it. Drama.
Many people who buy into the drama.